neat little studios. I've used to visit them when I went on a road trip. I've gone to Moses Lake and seen a radio station operating out of a mobile home. Olympia, Washington has the two radio stations on a pier with a studio right on a dock. You know, it's just fascinating to see what they could do. Bellingham, of course, had a radio station in the drive-in movie theater.
Yeah. In fact, I think that was probably one of the final things is they used a transmitter instead of the speaker on the wire. You could tune in on your radio, which probably saved a lot of money when you're driving away and you got a rope on your window and bust your the driver's side window out because you forgot to take the speaker up. There's a story down in the States that happened a year ago, and Gearing Engineering has it. I'm just trying to find it, but there was a station down in the States that supposedly, one day their tower went missing. It's a big scam and what have you, but I found it quite interesting. You'll find it on their channel when a radio tower went missing. Really funny stuff.
That would be funny. I'm going to have to check that out tomorrow. I forgot to mention one of the more interesting things I used to find when I was doing my AMDX at night is, and you'll probably remember this, the Department of Highways transmitters from various places right across the U.S. They're about 10 watts. They used to always be on AM. Now they're on FM if they use them. But you could actually get some of those at night, the little 10-watt radio stations in on the commercial band. And they were just for highway updates for construction. But they would ID enough that you'd be able to pick them out.
Well, that's the magic of propagation, you know. Propagation is very interesting. I know even now on an AM radio, you know, you go above 1400 or get down below 600 kilohertz there. You can still pick up California AM broadcast stations clear as day. It's amazing how the eye atmosphere works.
It is indeed, and in some ways, the death of broadcasting, as much as I lament the fact it has died, it's kind of good in that it's opened up the band, and you can listen to more and pick out more, and including the odd pirate radio station, which is still my ultimate dream when I get around to it, is breaking the law and operating a little pirate radio station here.
Well, here's one for you that always fascinated me about broadcast commercial transmitters that use the tower as the residence of the antenna. I always couldn't figure out, of all that weight, how that little porcelain isolator at the bottom of the base of the aerial could hold all that weight.
Guy wires.
Well, no, not that part. Just the physical weight of the structure sitting on the porcelain isolator. I mean, that is a lot of weight.
Oh, I know what you mean. And, yeah, I can picture it. I forget the name of it, but there is a certain broadcast AM antenna. Rox would know the name of it. But it is an antenna that's triangular, the way it goes up, almost like the ARRL look of the antenna on their symbol. But that was the big tower, and right at the very bottom, it would go up almost like a pyramid, then a reverse pyramid, or a reverse pyramid on the bottom, I should say, and right down to that little tiny insulator on the ground. And it would go up hundreds of feet into that porcelain insulator, which is kind of, yeah, amazing. How could it hold that weight?
Yeah, it boggles the mind. It really does. I'm very fascinated on commercial stuff myself. It kind of triggered a part of the hobby that I do like about communication equipment. Okay, we're going to take a short pause here. I'm going to grab a cup of coffee. V7ROX, it's your swing of the chair there, my talented man. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just stretched out here, listening mode. Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff out there on the airwaves. AM DXing. Yeah, I've got a little 5-watt transmitter here on the FM band. You set the frequency with dip switches, and I've done some experimental stuff on there. I've got an antenna for it, and got a transmits to about a radius of 5 kilometers or so. Yeah, I have fun with that.
I have an old high school friend that moved to Lillooet years ago, and he bought one of those little transmitters for, I don't know, I guess they use them for churches and for community halls. But he knew enough about electronics and enough about antennas that he set it up in Lillooet and ran his own little radio station for the town there. And the range on that would be about 30 to 40 kilometers from his place, running at about 5 watts.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I've got here. Yeah, made by Ramsey Electronics. Yeah, it could cover a small town quite easily. I'm in Burnaby, so it's kind of a different setup in a metropolitan area like this. But in a small town, it could easily cover it. Yeah, yeah, there's a little power amplifier connected to it called an LPA1. And that'll boost a quarter of a watt up to about 1 watt, and then another one that'll boost it up to about 5 watts. And that would be that. Yeah, and I had a transmitter on the AM broadcast band that was running 25 watts. There were LPRT stations all over the place run by the CBC. That stands for low power relay transmitters, and they were generally about 40 watts. And it was interesting DXing, picking up some of those sometimes.
Yeah, and those would be more challenging, I guess, because they're just repeaters. So to actually ID them and locate them when you're listening, some of those ones would be difficult. But, yeah, that's fascinating to me. I've often thought if somebody wanted to make a deal with one of the First Nations around here, they could set up their own little radio station on First Nations Aboriginal Title land, be free of the CRTC and Industry Canada, and run their own transmitter and do what they want. Maybe the Tawasin band a little bit higher up there in elevation there in Tawasin, and just cover the lower mainland with their own programming and do maybe a one-hour program every night for Indigenous program to please the band, and nobody could touch them.
Oh, yeah, easily done. I know there is one running up at the big reserve there near Pemberton, in between Whistler and Pemberton. There's a station there that's been running for quite a while, and various other reserves throughout the province, if not the whole country. Oh, yeah, that's easily done.
Yeah, I find that stuff just fascinating. Just the pirate radio, or, you know, alternative radio and what you could do with that. In any case, I'm going to have to say goodnight. Merlin, I don't know if you made it back there, O.R., but I'm going to have to say goodnight because I'm in a small place, small townhouse, and I've got a loud voice, and I'm just going to have to let people around me sleep.
V7HHI, V7OR, pleasure having you on board of the Red Eye tonight. Thanks for being with us, sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And I will remember, never ground myself out onto a tower as a dummy load. You take care, and hope to catch you next Friday.
Absolutely, and Merlin, thanks so much for the Red Eye Net. Perfect type thing. I'm going to have to jump in more often. You know, that's really where the community is. And having nice talks rather than just a check-in, I think is so much more fascinating. And this time of the morning, lends itself to it. So it's been a lot of fun. And Rox, heard you many times. I think we've talked a couple times. Good to have a chance to actually chat with you. And I didn't know that you were in the department there at CKNW before my time, but that's fascinating. That's good to know. And everybody else that checked in, too. That was great. Have a good night, and I will, Merlin, check out those websites and the QSO party tomorrow, for sure. VE7HHI73.
Okay, and by the way, if you have a pen in hand, when you go to the Geerling Engineering, the video you want to watch is They Stole the Whole Tower, and it's about a radio station, WJLX-AM, down in the States, and it's pretty funny to watch. Did the tower get stolen? I don't think so, but it's good, amusing fun.
Will do. I'll check it out, actually, on my phone. That's quiet enough. Have a good night, and thanks for that, and thanks for everything you do for the ham radio community. I mean that. VE7HHI73.
73. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, there we go. I wonder if he knew Ted Wendland, because that's who got me on at CKNW. I used to work at the radio shop on Kingsway and Rupert before that, Flectronics, and I used to install CB radios and car stereos and all that sort of thing, and a technician there. Anyway, that's a whole different topic.
I'll be right back, Rox. I'm just going to grab a cup of coffee.
Coffee break.
V7ROX, V7OR. Well, I guess we're pretty well dead in the water here. I don't know if Tango Echo Tango, did you finally fall asleep?
No, I'm awake, but I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, they call us ham radio. H stands for home, A stands for amateur, and what does M stand for?
Do you really want me to tell you how what ham means? Is that what you're asking? You really want me to do this, don't you?
Well, I just wondered what the M stands for.
Okay. There are two theories, guys, of how the word ham came up. In the early military days, of real commercial military stuff and that, in the early 1900s, these would be called professional telegram operators. They used to talk to have these ham operators come on and what have you, and the slang ham in commercial telegram operating meant a bad operator. So, you know, the military and what have you, that's where that slang came up. That's one version of how the word came up. Do you want the other version?
Holy cow, I don't know if I can handle the other version.
Well, the other one's kind of interesting, too. In the early days, there were three ham operators, a gentleman named Hyman, Elmy, and Murray. And they decided when they were using radios to ID themselves before licensing that as HAM, H-A-M. So they finally registered station as HAM. Because of their technology and what have you being so new into this type of communication, the word ham radio came up. I think I prefer the first version of myself as debate, that it was the professional telegram operators of the days hearing all these the operators went without licenses all over their frequencies, and them feeling that they weren't doing proper protocol. And the slang ham meant to them that you were a bad operator.
Okay, that's about all I can handle for now. And boy, did you come up with some answers. I'm shocked. You're fantastic. Fantastic answer. Thanks very much. V7 Tango Echo Tango, going back to sleep.